Line. Morning, Brandon. How are you today?
Hey, great, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I hope you had a good Easter.
I did. Nice and quiet. And quite frankly, I pilfered some chocolate successfully from some kids' baskets, so I'm pretty good. I took 10%. You know, I figured 10% was good. 1 out of 10, that wasn't bad. You know, what's your favorite? What do you get? You Cadbury egg guy? You a Peeps guy? What are you?
No, just I like white chocolate, but you took the devil's cut. That's what you did, right?
That's exactly right. Hey, you know, it's interesting because at least that brings us to a pertinent level of, you know, how'd you vote on the temporary budget fix for fiscal 15?
I voted no, Tom. As you know, you probably talked to a lot of people. It was pretty, it was rushed through. We didn't really realize we were going to vote on it that day, and when it hit the floor, we didn't. You know, we had a few things that we knew that was in it, but you know, taking over $500 million from the road fund, I just couldn't do that, especially not right now, because you know, that's money I don't think we're ever going to get back. When you sweep the fund, that you don't necessarily have to put that money back. Now, we may have a capital bill, and that may be all and great, but you still got $500 million that's going to hurt, you know, working families, because that's potential jobs.
You know, this across-the-board 2.25 cut, I mean, we're learning more about the fiscal ramifications of this. And this morning, you know, people are digesting this social services cut of $26 million. That's in also public service, social services, I should say, and public health grants. And another $3.4 million for frozen for immigration services, immigration integration, actually. And the attempt, you know, to cover this $1.6 billion, if this is what happens over $1.6 billion, then the fiscal year, the budget that they're coming up with, a $5 billion shortfall should be, well, interesting, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Well, Tom, more than just interesting, I don't know how they're going to do it unless they don't do some kind of a revenue enhancement. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying we should raise taxes, but we've got to do something to generate some revenue, because you cannot cut your way out of this.
And you know what, we could have cut our way out of this 8 years ago, but we ignored it. So now the magnitude of the problem, even to be able to digest the math from this, is trying.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, you've got some departments and some agencies that are supposed to take, supposedly here coming up, they're going to be asked to take another 10 or so percent cut. I just don't see how it is. But Tom, the main thing is that you know, we're gonna get a number of what we're gonna be able to use to try to fix this budget, and then all these occult committees will go on. I myself got on the occult public safety for the first time. I've always wanted to be on it because I'm worried still about some of these facilities in prisons closing down.
But here's the thing, Brandon. You and I have been talking about this for a long time. We knew this was coming. Somebody knew this was coming. I think the vast majority did. I know you did. And here it is. I mean, something had to be done. What are we doing wrong when it comes to fixing the thing?
Well, that's the thing, Tom. I mean, there's been, let's just be honest with one another, there hasn't been a lot of cooperation with both sides of the parties working together. You know, a lot of these budgets have been Democrats, you know, for a long time. Now that you have Governor Rauner in, if you saw the last vote on the temporary budget fix for this year 15, you saw every Republican legislator vote on this. I think Governor Rauner is going to have his party in line to try to vote for something, because he knows we need both parties to try to get ourselves out of it. So I think you're going to see much more cooperation this next time.
Yeah, a lot more bipartisan. 2015, you know, I talked to John Bradley last week, and $31 billion, I guess, is a good place to say. We could say 32 probably and be safe as well.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I had heard the number 31. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be considerably down. I mean, like I said, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be unhappy, because there's going to have to be a lot of tough choices being made, Tom. But I just can't for the life of me cut the road fund anymore. I mean, that was enough. And like I said, you're still talking about a capital bill. And a lot of people want to know and wondering how you're going to pay for a capital bill. So, you know, we got a lot of work to do, Tom. I still don't think we'll be done May 31st.
But they're hiring at the Department of Corrections.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, I'll tell you that, that's not a bad deal, because, you know what, overtime, if you know, my boss and I always preach, you know, we're paying too much overtime, just hire more people. And with the understaffing so bad right now, you're still getting, you know, there's a lot of assault on guards right now, and correctional officers, that we can't stand. somebody's going to get killed, and if we don't take a, be more proactive than take a reactive position, we're going to be in trouble, and there's going to be people not going to be able to go home to their family.
You know, wouldn't it be great if now, I mean, depending, a lot of people disagree one way or another, but if you had the jobs from fracking busting in southeastern Illinois in the majority of their district, wouldn't we see some of these revenue problems go away if we saw fracking pick up?
We did, and that's why I'm so happy to know that I have, we all have a friend in Director of DNR, Wayne Rosenthal. This Wednesday, the 8th, Tom, if you don't care, just real quick, I'm going to have him down at SIC at the George Dennis Theater, 3 o'clock, April the 8th. Anybody that wants to come meet Director Wayne Rosenthal from DNR, I'm having him down for a meet and greet. He's a good friend. He gets it. And, you know, if we would have had him in office or in that position a while back, we wouldn't have missed the opportunity on this fracking. And right now, I talked to a geologist the other day. He's worried that we've already missed both in Illinois, and he's worried about it if they ever come back.
You know, and the other interesting thing, when you've got Mr. Rosenthal there, and I knew this was coming up, that the folks right across Route 13 to the south there with Rocky Branch, you'd probably like to come over and speak with the director.
I'm sure. You know, and like I said, this is going to be a very cordial meeting. I mean, he agreed to come down. Like I said, I just always known him since the first day he got elected, and he's just a dear friend, and he's going to be very good for the department because he does care, you know, about both sides of the argument, and he'll make his best decision that's best for the state of Illinois.
You know, another item that you're working on, and this is another one of those things where I find myself kicking myself because I didn't know this exists, the Southern Illinois Native American Settlement. You're working on state recognition for this?
Yeah, Tom, their tribe came to me. They're a tribe of the Shawnee Indians, and Barney Bush, their leader, came to me about a year and a half ago. We didn't think, and some of the attorneys in the House didn't think we could do this because it needed to be done federally. But what we have found out now since then is that if you do the state recognition, then you are able to go and try to get benefits from the federal government, which, let me just be clear, these benefits are put over just for Native Americans. And it's always been that way. Never has it been done in Illinois, just like in Silcarrie. It's never been done in Illinois. So we thought, why not some of our residents and people in Illinois, why should they be punished? Let's give them some recognition so they can try to go after get some of those funds from the federal government where it comes into Illinois. I don't think we've had any federal dollars come in for Native Americans in Illinois ever. So this is a chance, if they get this, they'll be able to try to get that through the federal government. I don't think there's anything wrong, because, Tom, it's helping them and it's helping their families. And if it's helping someone in my district, I want to do it.
You know, it's interesting because I remember talking to John Shimkus on a similar subject about this, been a number of years back, because they had to contact Native Americans to rebuild the school that was destroyed by the tornado down there by Ozark.
Right.
And so
right.
I know they had to contact Native Americans in the area to get approval because of potential for burial sites and things along that line. That's the only thing that I can remember that's pertinent, I think, to this conversation. I'm interested in it, to be honest with you. I'm ready to learn more.
Well, there's over, you know, their tribe, you've got a lot of members. They live all the way from White County all the way down to Massac along the river, Ohio, you know, with Pope and Hardin and Sling. And so, you know, Barney and his people, I just want to be able to help them. And like I said, it's been far too long. And like I said, I just want to see them prosper. And I think we can be able to do that with them, for them and their families.
Illinois State Representative Brandon Phelps. Brandon, thanks for your time, sir. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.